Do you feel like life is demanding more than you have to give? Well, you're not alone, friend, but God wants to meet you at your point of need and be strong in your weakness. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we study power for life. Stay with us. Do or where do you turn when life becomes overwhelming? A lot of people turn to painkillers, drugs, alcohol, escapism. But Jesus Christ wants you to turn to Him, and He offers you the Holy Spirit, a comforter, an indwelling presence of God that gives you power for life. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word. This program comes to you from the high desert of Southern California and features the teaching and preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Every Monday through Friday, you can join us here or you can join us online at dailyintheword.org. Listen online to recent programs or subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast and take Daily in the Word with you via your phone or iPod or computer. Listen to it at your convenience. Today, we're studying power for life. I do want to encourage you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. There are two resources we want to highlight to you as we study this series. The first is a book by Dr. Chappell entitled Living Beyond Your Capacity, a very close inspection and rediscovery of the Holy Spirit of God and His ministry in your life. If you'd like to take this series and go deeper, you're going to enjoy Living Beyond Your Capacity. Also, a new book by Dr. Chappell entitled The Burden Bearer, how you can give your burden to the true burden bearer, the Lord Jesus Christ. A creative book, an allegory that will touch your heart and challenge and change your perspective on the burdens you're carrying today. This and much, much more, you can find out all about it at dailyintheword.org. Right now, we're opening our Bibles to Romans chapter 8 as we study the power to intercede. Here's Paul Chappell.
Former President Ronald Reagan liked to tell the story about a young news reporter. He was really trying to get a start in the news business, and his editor called him up one day. He said, "There's a terrible fire out at Palos Verdes, and we want you to get some pictures of the fire." And he said, "What I want you to do is go down to the airport." He said, "There's going to be a plane ready for you there. I want you to get in that plane. I want you to fly up above the fire and take several shots for the paper tomorrow. We want to really cover this story with the best of our ability." Well, the young reporter was excited with the opportunity. He grabbed his camera, he got in his car, he rushed down to the airport. Sure enough, he walked out towards the tarmac. There was a plane fired up, engines were revved up, and he got into the passenger seat and they took off. And as they got up, going about 5,000 feet or so, the reporter looked over at the man there in the pilot's seat and he said, "Here's what I want you to do." He said, "I've got my camera ready." He said, "I want you to turn over towards the smoke over there. I want you to level off when we get close enough. I'm going to take some pictures and so forth." And that's when the photographer heard those very unsettling words. The man in the pilot seat said, "Aren't you the instructor?" Now, trying to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit's leading is like trying to fly to Palos Verdes or Catalina or somewhere else without a pilot in the seat. Every one of us need to learn how to rely on the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives. One of my favorite verses is in your introduction to the notes this morning. It's Romans 8 and verse 1, and it says these words, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Don't you love the first part of that verse? There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. How many of you that are saved this morning are thankful that your sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ? There's no condemnation. We have freedom from the law. We have freedom from sin and death. We are the sons and daughters of God because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The fact is, however, though, that we are still living in a very sinful world this morning. While we are redeemed, while we are the children of God through Christ, we are living in a sinful world, and God commands us to walk in the Spirit, to live according to His Spirit's plan, not according to this world, not according to the desires of our flesh. And in order to help us with this spiritual walk, the Bible teaches that when someone accepts Christ as their Savior, the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in our life. We saw a few weeks ago in 1 Corinthians 6:19 that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we have learned in previous weeks, the Bible says we are to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says we are to yield to the Spirit. The Bible says we're not to quench the Spirit or grieve the Spirit, but we're to walk in the Spirit. And the Spirit in turn will comfort us. He will guide us. He will direct us into a Christ-honoring life. This morning, we're going to see that the Holy Spirit, who lives within the lives of every believer, has a desire this morning to help us with a matter known as intercession. That is, He wants to help carry our burden to the Lord. He wants to help carry our burden to the throne of grace in heaven. He helps us with our prayer. He helps us carry the burdens of our lives. He is the comforter. He is the intercessor for the believer. Today, as we learn about God's power to intercede, I want you to learn about the help of the Holy Spirit provided within the heart of every Christian. If you have your outline this morning, I want you to notice, first of all, that this help is a heavenly help. It's a heavenly help. Now, people seek help in a lot of ways. Some people pay psychiatrists for their assistance and counseling. Some people go to counselors, and others buy drugs, and some try alcohol and other such forms of vice to try to ease their pain. But God says, I have help for you, and my help is a heavenly help. It is the help from my Holy Spirit living within you. Notice in verse 26, the Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also, what's the next word say? Helpeth our infirmities. Let's say that together, that line, ready to begin. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. So this heavenly help is given to us, first of all, to strengthen us. God says, in your life, you're going to have some weak moments. You're going to have some trying days. You're going to have days where your heart is breaking, where the tears won't stop flowing. And I want you to know that I'm giving to you my Spirit. He is an equal person of the Godhead. He is going to indwell you, and He is going to strengthen you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15 gives a little more light on this subject. Notice it says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit, capital S, of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In other words, the Holy Spirit of God places us into the family of God. He seals us until the day of our redemption. And He says, I'm going to give you the Spirit that cries out and says, Abba, Father. That reminds you that you're a part of God's family. Verse 16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now let's think about that for a moment, being the children of God, having a heavenly Father that wants to help us and strengthen us. Moms and dads, those of you that have had children in this room this morning, you would testify to me that when you have observed your children with the flu or maybe mumps or chicken pox or whatever your kids came down with, every one of us would say it's disheartening, it's burdensome to see our children in such pain. It's never a joy, it's always a grief to see a child or a loved one in pain and struggling through. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God is there to help our infirmity. And the word here, helpeth, means to lay hold or to take hold upon or with another. And even as a mother would cradle her child in his fever and in the flu and in the difficult time, and even as a mother or father would take and cherish a child and help a child during that infirmity, there is a God in heaven who sees and knows of our infirmities. And in fact, Hebrews chapter 4 says, He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit of God helpeth with our infirmities. He is the one who comes along and says, you can make it another step. You can go along the way. I am with you. I am with you. Every one of us want to see that for our own children. But God says, I am your Abba, Father. And I want to come alongside of you and help you make it through. Now, most of you know that in our family, we have a new member of our family, our first grandchild, Camden. We've been trying to help him. He's small in size, just a little fella, just 8 months old. We've been trying to help him learn how to crawl, and everyone's tried. We've tried so many things. We put things in front of him on the carpet. We'll put food in front of him. And we'll put his favorite toys in front of him. We put the kitten, we have a little kitten in front of him. But all he's been able to do for weeks and weeks is crawl backwards. He can only crawl in reverse. And yesterday evening, I was going over my notes and praying, getting ready for today. And Danielle, our daughter, brought Camden in, so I put him down on the floor in my study there. And as I've been doing lately, I put something in front of him, try to motivate him. This time I put a golf ball in front of him. And I've been trying to help him along, just a little guy, help him along. You see, we're all there saying, come on, you can make it. Come alongside him. Come on, just push a little harder. You can make it. You're going to do it. And I want to tell you, there is a God in heaven who loves us so much more than we love our children. He loves us so much more than we love our grandchildren. And he knows we have weaknesses, and he knows we sometimes have trouble getting through the day. And like a parent or a grandparent, and with such greater love, God the Father, through his Spirit, says, I'm going to come alongside of you when you're weak. And I'm going to help you in the time of your infirmity. You see, all of us have infirmity. All of us are weak. All of us need the infilling of the Spirit to guide and direct us. Andrew Murray wrote much about this life called the Spirit-filled life. He said, may not a single moment of my life be spent outside the light, love, and joy of God's presence, and not a moment without the entire surrender of myself as a vessel for Him to fill full of His Spirit and His love. He says, I want to help you with your infirmity. I want to fill you full of my Spirit. The word infirmity means our weakness. It means the infirmity or weakness of one's body. And every one of us have such need today for God's strengthening to help us take another step, to help us make it through another day. When God speaks here in Romans 8:26 about infirmity, He no doubt is speaking of the overall condition of fallen man. All of us are living in a difficult age, in a difficult day. All of us have battles that we must fight with the world, the flesh, and the devil. There are infirmities today that we must fight, but not in our strength, only in the power of the Holy Spirit. In general, we are weak and infirmed with continual battles to face. All of us need God's strength. Now, sometimes in our lives, we might think, well, you know, my job's okay, my finances are okay, my kid's okay, no one in our family is sick. And we may not really realize how much we need this heavenly help. We may become a bit self-sufficient in our mind. But how many of you have learned that right about the time you think you've got it made, a set of circumstances comes that reminds you, you know what? You're going to need the Holy Spirit's help once again. You're going to need the interceding power and help of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul spoke about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He had been stricken with a tremendous disease. Many scholars believe it was a disease of the eyes. And in fact, he went to the Lord 3 times. And by the way, contrary to the teaching of some false teachers, it is not always God's will that everyone be healed. And if there ever was a candidate for divine healing, it would have been the Apostle Paul. Would you not agree with that? He asked 3 times for his healing. But instead of giving healing, God wanted to give him a measure of His grace and the power of His Spirit. We read about that in 2 Corinthians 12:8. It says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, Jesus said unto Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Say that with me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. One more time. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That's the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Why? Because Romans 8:26 says that when we have infirmities, the Holy Spirit comes to help us with our infirmities. Paul said, I would have never known the divine touch of God. I would have never known the power, the strength, the encouragement. I would have never known the encouraging word of God had I not had some trials in my life, had I not had that weakness. And you see, as long as you think you're strong and as long as you think you're self-sufficient, you will go along in this life, but maybe without knowing the real power of God in your life. But Paul said, when I finally realized that I was weak, it was then that God's power rested upon my life. Now, I've never met anybody who would say, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. Most people today are not real happy about trials and difficulty. But Paul had come to that place in his life where he said, when I am weak, then I am strong. In other words, if this is what it took to get me to where I needed to be in my walk with God, then I will most gladly thank him for it. God says, I want to strengthen you by my Spirit. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. But notice, secondly, he says, not only do I have help to strengthen you, but he says, I want to also guide you. He has strength to guide us during these times of difficulty. Verse 26, the Bible says once again, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit at certain times in our lives is prepared even to guide our prayer life and to help us to know how to pray. Maybe you have been to a place in your life where you were so overwhelmed by the challenges and trials that you faced. Maybe you have been to a place in your life where the news was so difficult that all you knew how to do was simply cry and weep, and you had prayed and prayed to God but didn't really know what else to say. You didn't know how to verbalize to God the brokenness of your heart. Well, the Bible says that at those moments, the Spirit of God will help us to pray as we ought. He will make intercession for us. And the Bible speaks of this in Romans 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Frankly, if you are not saved today, this service is foolishness unto you. You are a natural man who does not possess the Spirit. But if you have been born again by the Spirit, then God says, I can guide you when you don't know where to go. I can help you pray when you don't know what to say. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will help you. You are not alone in this life. I am going to strengthen you in your time of infirmity. I am going to guide you when you don't know how to pray, when all you know is emptiness of soul and bitterness of soul, and you cry out to me without words, God says, I am going to verbalize for you at the throne of grace what needs to be said by my Spirit. Many years ago, there was an accomplished organist who was known for rousing renderings of all the popular numbers. And it was back in a day when someone would be in a back room and they would be pumping up an airbag so that all of the wind could get into the pipes of the organ. And as this particular gal was playing her concert, the billows were being blown and the pipes were being provided the air by the efforts in the back. And she came to the point where she would now play her last number. And so she stood up and everyone had been clapping, and she announced her last number. And she said, I shall now play. And she announced the number. She sat back down. She stretched her arms. She got ready. She put her hands down on the keys and nothing happened. Well, she was a little frustrated. She tried again and nothing happened. Well, a moment later, someone walked out from behind the platform and said, why don't you say, we shall now play? And apparently the person in the back pumping all the air into the pipes wanted a little bit of credit for the solo that was now being announced. Can I be honest with you? There's not a person in here who really walks with the Lord who can say definitively, I'm going to do this for God, I'm going to do that for God. But if you're growing this year in the understanding of the Holy Spirit's ministry, you'll learn to understand this fact. It's not I, but it's Christ in me. It's by His Spirit that we witness. It's by His Spirit that we sing. It's by His Spirit you stay married. It's by His Spirit you tell someone about Christ. It's by His Spirit you forgive. It's by His Spirit you learn how to pray effectively. It's all because of the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The Holy Spirit will guide our prayers. And may I say, the Holy Spirit understands our pain. There are times when people say, how's it going? You don't even know how to verbalize it. There are times when people will try to come along and figure out the circumstance, and you don't have the ability to explain what you're feeling within your soul. But you don't have to explain to an all-knowing God who already understands what is in your heart. Notice the Bible says in verse number 26, it says, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Here we see, as we pray and as we have a broken heart and don't know exactly what to say, the Holy Spirit has empathy. The Holy Spirit brings the groanings of our heart and the burdens of our heart before the throne of grace. He understands what it means to suffer deeply. The Bible says in John 11 and verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. You understand that Jesus Christ, who groaned in the spirit because of the loss of loved ones and the pain that was being experienced by his disciples, that he knew how to empathize. And the Holy Spirit likewise understands when your heart is broken and helps to convey the feeling of your heart before the God to whom we pray. The Bible says in verse 26, he makes intercession with us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And this is not a reference to some type of an ecstatic gibberish or the unknown tongues that some would try to force upon a new convert. This is not talking about the phenomenon related to first century revelation. This is speaking about the burden of a heart being carried to the throne of grace by the Holy Spirit of God. God says, I want you to understand when you walk through the valleys of life that there is one who will offer heavenly help, and that one indwells you, and that one wants to guide you and strengthen you, and his name is the Holy Spirit of God. The heavenly help of the Holy Spirit. All of us, when we walk through the valley, need the heavenly help of God's Holy Spirit. But notice, secondly, the Holy Spirit not only provides heavenly help, he not only helps us with our infirmities, but secondly, he provides a holy knowledge. Now, it's one thing to have encouragement. It's another thing to have encouragement according to knowledge, and the knowledge of God in particular. Would you notice with me, please, in verse 27 what it says? And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Now, God's Holy Spirit, first of all, knows our need. He has knowledge to know our need. May I say to you that when you're going through stress, when you're stressed out and going through the trials, you may not even know your own heart. You may not even know what's going on with your own emotions. I have seen many Christians get in a point of stress and make irrational decisions. And all of a sudden, they go out and buy something they shouldn't buy. They go out and say something they shouldn't say. They go out and move somewhere they should have never moved to in the first place. All of a sudden, they start acting like a ping pong ball in a bowling alley, going back and forth because they don't even know their own heart. By the way, how many of you would admit that stress sometimes has a way of making us a little foggy in the way we think? And here we see a truth, that when we don't even know our own heart, there is a God in heaven who searches our heart and who knows how to pray what is best when we may not even know what to say. And this is what it says in verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. God Almighty examines our heart. That's why the psalmist would often pray, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 26:2, examine me, O Lord, and prove me, try my reins and my heart. You see, friend, when you don't even know what's going on in your own heart, you may say, well, I'm okay. I think I'm going in the right direction, but in reality, go in the wrong direction.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word and Dr. Paul Chappell teaching and preaching today in a series entitled Power for Life. Friend, the power to live beyond your capacity begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't have that relationship, you can enter into that relationship by faith. It's a decision. It's a choice. It's not about religion or tradition or structure. It's not about earning it by being good. It's about entering into it by faith because of the grace and mercy of God. If you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, we encourage you to do so right now. Bow your head and heart, pray a simple prayer of faith, confessing to Jesus Christ that you believe that He is God, that He rose from the dead after dying on the cross for your sins. Invite Him into your life to be your Savior once and for all. Before we close today's edition of Daily in the Word, I do want to invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. At the website, you'll find out more about this series. You can listen to recent programs or broadcasts. There are many other resources when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. Two books that are companions to this series that Dr. Chappell has written recently. The first is entitled Living Beyond Your Capacity. It's a paperback book that studies in depth the ministry and life of the Holy Spirit within you. It's a powerful companion to this series, Power for Life. Also, a new book entitled The Burden Bearer. It's a hardback book written in an allegory form that will rivet you, capture you, captivate you, and then it will challenge you to give your burdens to the burden bearer. Dr. Chappell invites you to join us for the Alaska cruise August 9th through the 16th of 2014. Again, that's 2014. You'll enjoy 7 days of admiring God's beautiful creation in Alaska, enjoying the fellowship of believers and the teaching and preaching of God's Word. More information is found at dailyintheword.org, and we hope you'll plan now to join us for a wonderful time together aboard the Alaska cruise August 9th through the 16th, 2014. Hey, thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.